The Gemara in Daf Lamed Gimel Beis brings down the Shita of Rabbi Elazar that if a person has a barrel, you have a chavis, and it's full of gregaris, full of figs, and you want to get them out, you're allowed to break the chavis in order to take out the figs. Shayver Adam is a chavis, lachem limena gregaris, eventually scavin lasses kli. So even though you seem to be making a kli when you open the barrel, but being that you don't have kavanah to make a kli, your kavanah is not to make a kli, your kavanah is just to break it open so you can get to what's inside, that is not a problem of making a kli. The Gemara is bothered that Lachar, even though you're not mechamed to make a kli, but we should be geyser, then maybe you will come to make a kli, maybe you won't be mechamed to make a kli, like we find the Rabbi Eliezer is geyser in other cases. And the Gemara answers that we're not worried about making a kli over here because Amar Vashi ki tanya hi, but mustiki. We're talking about not a regular barrel, we're talking about mustiki. And when it comes to mustiki, there's no chashash that you're going to come and make a kli. So what does mustiki mean? So Rashi explains that mustiki is talking about a barrel which is made out of broken pieces. So let's say broken pieces of wood that you stick together with some type of saraf, some type of sap that comes from a tree, which is called mustiki in Arabic. And that's what mustiki means. It means it's a barrel which is made out of broken pieces that you connected with this sticky substance called mustiki. And being that it's made out of broken pieces, it's not a real kli that you want to turn into a kli. So we're not concerned that you're going to end up breaking it in a way that will make a kli, because anyways, it's pretty broken, and it's not the type of thing that people make into kelim, so there's no chashash that you're going to make it into a kli over here. And that's how Rashi understands this idea of mustiki. Now, agav, the word mustiki, Rashi learns, is some type of saraf. It's a sap that comes from a tree, shikar and shaf, and it's also called rishaina. And he says in Lashon HaRabi in Arabic, they call it mustiki. I think it would be mistaber that the way the word for chewing gum in Hebrew, modern Hebrew, is mastic. The word mastic, I assume, probably comes from Arabic and is mistaber based on this word mustiki. It is the same sharish because the original gum came from the sap of the tree, the mastic tree, which is probably this mustiki that Rashi is referring to over here. But Akopanim, when Rashi brings down this chat of what mustiki is and what this barrel is and why you're allowed to break it open, Rashi says something very interesting. He says that this chat, and what mustiki is, he says, Kach amrili Reb Shmuel ha-mechuna chassid min bar beshta. This pshat was said to me by Reb Shmuel, who is mechuna chassid, who is referred to as a chassid, who came from the city of bar beshta. So Rashi quotes this pshat from Reb Shmuel ha-mechuna chassid, Reb Shmuel, who is called the chassid. And the question is, why does Rashi refer to him as Reb Shmuel ha-mechuna chassid? Why don't you just say Reb Shmuel ha-chassid? We have Reb Yudah ha-chassid. Many people are called HaChassid. Call him Reb Shmuel HaChassid. What's Reb Shmuel HaMechuna HaChassid? Reb Shmuel who is called the Chassid. We know the Rashi is medayik in every word that he writes. There's never an extra word. Why did Rashi need to add this extra word over here, Reb Shmuel HaMechuna HaChassid, who is referred to as a Chassid? Why can't he just call him Reb Shmuel HaChassid? And there's a beautiful hasbro that Bechan of Asman says in the end of Kovitz Arasan Yavamis. He has digmais for the Uri Agad al Derech HaPshat, and he has a shtickle over there to be mazbe this word in Rashi, a whole shtickle tari that he says based on this one extra word in Rashi of hamechune, and he's mazbe like this. He's medayik from the Rambam when it comes to Hilchos Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is not just saying something bad about someone, but even if you you refer to him as being less than the stature that he really has, you treat him as someone who is less chashim than he is, less of a tzaddik than he is, that's also Lashon Hara. If you're mired him from his madrega, that's also considered Lashon Hara, because you're not giving him the proper chashivas that he deserves. And Rav Chanan adds on to that, based on that Rambam, that who had then that if you portray a person as being greater than he is, you claim that he's a bigger tzaddik than he is, he's more chashiv than he is, that also will be Lashon Hara, because that also could be mazik him. If you say that a person is very chashiv, he's a big tzaddik, and he's really not, then someone can make a shidduch with him, and it might not be an appropriate shidduch. He could get a job which is not befitting, and even in his own mind, if he thinks he's greater than he is, it can end up having a bad effect on his decisions and his way of life. So if you refer to someone as being more chashiv than he is, that's also Lashon Hara. It's not something that should be done. You can't say that a person is less than he is, and who I didn't, you can't say that he's more than he is. So B'chanan explains that Rashi over here heard this chat from this Reb Shmuel, who is referred to as Reb Shmuel HaChassid. Now Rashi himself did not know that he was a chassid. He didn't know for sure that this person is a chassid. It could be he was, but Rashi didn't have any inside information. So Rashi did not want to call him Reb Shmuel HaChassid, because if he's really not on the Madrega of Chassid, Chassid is a very high status that some Rishonim got. If he was really not a Chassid and he would call him Reb Shmuel HaChassid, he would be being machshavei more than he is, and that would be wrong. You can't give a person a title or a chashivas that he's not deserving of, because that also is considered Lashon Hara. To not call him a Chassid at all would also be a problem, because if he is a Chassid, and to not call him a Chassid, he's taken away from his Madrega. So Rashi didn't want to call him a chassid, he didn't want to not call him a chassid, and therefore he's a medayik, and he says, Rav Shmuel ha-mechun a chassid, people refer to him as a chassid. Rashi's not taking a chayas, I don't know if he is or he's not, but people call him that. But Rashi didn't want to call him a chassid if he talk wasn't a chassid, because that's a zahiris a person has to have in this dibur, not to be mired from a person's chashivas, but also not to be mylet, not to give him more chashivas than he actually deserves. That's on the chlo in Lashon Hara. That's the beautiful hezber of Rav Chanan and Kavitz Aris. Now, I saw an interesting ha'ara on this from Moshe Mordechai Schulzinger and Mishmar Levi and Beya and Dav Chav Dalad. He asks an interesting question on Rashi. Rashi over there on the bottom of Chav Dalad and Beis has a whole shtickle about when a guy brings you something on Yom Tov, is it Mitzmutai Matzah Yom Tov? Is it the first day Yom Tov, the second day Yom Tov? And Rashi has all machlekes with his Rebbeim. Rashi himself held his mutter right away on the first night of Yom Tov, and then he says that Rabbeinu Gershom Mar HaGoyla agreed with me, and then he says, "Gam ata boilei mechtav migar miz shabalo sham adam gadol zakem yeshiva min raima u'shmei rav kleinimus u'baki b'chal hashas b'hayrekein v'nachle galen." Rashi brings to support him that he got a letter from Garmizia, that Adam Gadol came over there, he's from Rome, he's a baki b'chal hashas, his name was Rav Kleinimus, and he also supported Rashi in his shita. So Rav Moshe Mordechai asks that according to Rav Elchanan, how could Rashi refer to this person as a person who's baki b'chal hashas? The Chai Rashi should say he's Mechuna Baki B'chol HaShas. People refer to him as a Baki B'chol HaShas, but to call him a Baki B'chol HaShas, if Rashi didn't know for sure that he is, that L'chai would be a problem according to Rav Chanan. In the same way, it's Rav Shmuel HaMechuna Chassid. It should be Rav Kleinimus, who's Mechuna, or who's Nikra Baki B'chol HaShas. How does Rashi over here take the liberty to actually refer to him as a Baki B'chol HaShas? Now he says, if you're Medayik and Rashi over there, Rashi really doesn't say that he held his Baki B'chol HaShas. Rashi says that he got a letter from Garmiz, and in the letter, it says that Adam Gadol came, who is Akam Yashiv Yeshiva, and who is a Baki B'chol HaShas. So he's really quoting what's in the letter. This is not Rashi's own opinion. He's just saying this is what was written to him from Garmiz. So perhaps if you that, it wouldn't be a problem. But if you look in Taisus, Taisus quotes Rashi a little bit differently. Taisus says that Rashi says that he, his Lashon is that he got a, he says, V'gam Rabbeinu Klonimus Ishraimi Baki B'chol HaShas Shalach Li K'sav Me'ir Garmizia. Rashi says a little bit differently. He says, Rav Kleinimus, who is a Baki B'chol HaShas, sent me a letter. So it's not Rashi quoting them in the letter. This seems to be Rashi's own opinion. So if he that, the Kasha would talk to Bishmer. How could he refer to him as a Baki B'chol HaShas if he didn't know for sure? And Moshe Mordechai says it. Look, I have to say that over here, Rashi didn't know this Rav Kleinimus personally. He knew that he was a Baki B'chol HaShas, and therefore he's able to say that he was a Baki B'chol HaShas. Meshenkin, the Rav Shmuel, he didn't know that he was a Chassid. He only heard that he was, and therefore he had to be careful and call him Rav Shmuel HaMechuna Chassid, but he couldn't say that he's actually a chassid. That's Rav Chanan's pshat and Rashi, and we see that the zahiris a person has to have in his dibur when you talk about other people, bein l'tayv, bein l'mutav, to be medakdik, to say the exact emes, no more, no less.